So the goal is to study the sugya of Chanukah. And that's here tucked away in the second perek of Masechta Shabbos, perek Bamim Adlikin. And you'll see this on Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph. And we'll give a little bit of an introduction with three lines up before the end of the Amud. You'll see Amar Avhuna after the two dots. Oh, I did photocopy the Gemara. You want to do me a favor. As soon as you walk into the office, there are five shelves in a plastic thing. So it's in the top shelf, and I made a few copies of the Gemara. Right, that's Reuven, that's what I promised you. Okay, as soon as you open the door, the door itself will hit up against these drawers. So on the top drawer, you'll inside see a few inside the drawer. Not on top of the drawer, but inside the drawer. So you're going to have to pull the drawer.
All right. There's a plastic thing with
it. What's that? You see five drawers there. You see it? The top drawer there. Okay.
Yeah,
pass it up and I'll show you what it is. Okay. So here you'll have, this is the original, so it has two sets. You want two pages for the price of one, or? One is easy, I think. So it has the same as the two pages. You follow? So the original is single sided, and the anybody else that okay. So we have two extra copies if everyone needs it. So you'll see Shabbos Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph, and you'll take a look three lines before the end of the Yom, right? Omer Avuna. Okay.
Do you have a copy here, please?
Yes, yeah, please. Yeah, two more copies. But let's say a few words of introduction.
Hi, Rabbi.
How are you? Shalom aleichem. Good to see you.
Boy, are you prompt. My goodness.
Yeah, well, I came from a very early minyan. I don't want to even tell you what time I woke up today. So here it works like this. We're talking about what's called shmonim upsilos. Okay, this is where the sugya of Chanukah begins. So we have shmonim. Okay, that's the plural for oil, right? And we have psilos, which are the wicks. Okay, now keep in mind that the reason why we're talking about oil is because that's what they used for light in those days. Today we have wax candles and then we have electric candles. They didn't have electric lights, obviously. So everything is about shemen. You know, the whole focus is about shemen. Now, in Chanukah, shemen plays a very important role. Why is that? It's a word that I want you to, that you want to have on the table constantly. It starts with a mem and ends with a hey, and that's what? The menorah, right? The menorah and the heichal. And the menorah and the heichal was a daily mitzvah, twice a day, to light the menorah, and they lit it with oil. So everything about Chanukah has to do with oil. But way before Chanukah, there was another day of the year. Not a day of the year, I should say a day of the week that comes up every week. And also, oil is going to play a major role. What's that?
Shabbat.
Okay, so Shabbat. Okay. So what do we have on Shabbat? We have a mitzvah of Hadlokas Ner Shabbos. And back in the day, as I said before, that's what they had. They had, you know, the archaeologists can tell you, you know, what their neros look like. And if you learn Masechta Shabbos, you'll see that there are all sorts of issues of mukta that deal with the shemen in the, you know, let's say you have shemen that drips out of a Shabbos candle, are you allowed to catch it and use it for your purposes and so forth and so on? Is it mukta? But shemen, and for that matter, psilos as well, as we'll see, the wicks, divide into two categories. There are those that are acceptable for Shabbos, in other words, you can use them to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, and those that are rejected. Okay. Now, what determines whether or not they're kosher for Ner Shabbos or not? So for this, we have to introduce a concept called Shema Yata. Now, what happens is that in certain cases, if the receptacle that holds both the wick and the oil is not perfectly balanced, then you're tempted to want to change the balance. So you see that the light is sort of flickering, and without even thinking, almost inadvertently, what you do is you tip the oil so that more oil comes into the wick. And the problem of Shema Yata is a very severe one, because on Shabbos we have Lamentes Melachos, and one of them is called Meleches Mavir. And Mavir means to create light. Now, creating light or fire can apply in two cases. Case where you create a light or a fire that doesn't exist, or you have an existing light, but it's on its way down, it's on its way out. So what you do is you add oil. That too is Meleches Mavir. And basically, Meleches Mavir applies whenever you do any action that will improve the light. That the flame will be stronger and more intense because you picked it up, you blew on it, you fanned it, you tipped the oil in this direction. And what we're afraid is Shema Yat. Now it's interesting, the Gemara has a distinction here between what's called an Adam Chashuv and a regular person. An Adam Chashuv, I don't know exactly how to define an Adam Chashuv, but certainly the Tanoim fit into that category. They, l'chora, would not want to do hataya. In other words, they would never forget and accidentally tip over the candle in such a way that the oil would move towards the wick. Why is that? If I told you that, Rabbi Shmuel, you know, oh, he would never do such a thing, what would you say? Because he's a big one. Starts with a tzaddi, but it's the wrong answer, but it's the right answer for me now, if you follow me. He's a tzaddik, right? He's a big tzaddik. So a tzaddik is not going to forget that it's Shabbos and come to do hatoya. Let me just move this, Shlomo, just hold on to your Gemara for a split second. I want to move this here so we'll be a little bit more comfortable there in the back. So the truth is that the Gemara says it has nothing to do with your religious observance level. It has nothing to do with the tzaddik. It has to do with what's called an Adam Chashuv. Because what happens is that when your hands come in contact with the nair, they get a little bit filthy. And an Adam Chashuv would never forget, you know, it's natural to him. It's intuitive that he wouldn't come to do Hatoyah. So that's an interesting sugya on itself. Okay, so what does this have to do with Chanukah? The Gemara wants to know the following. What is the status of these shmonim, of these oils, and wicks, and psilos, with regard to Ner Chanukah? With regard to Ner Shabbos, we have this category of inferior oil, inferior shmonim, and the Mishnah at the beginning of Bamei Madlikin goes through an entire list. So some of you may be familiar with that list from Friday Night Davening, if you're Ashkenazi. And again, if you don't have an English translation, then you're basically mumbling words. Even with the English translation, we still don't know what we're talking about, but at least you have a shot at it. And the question is, what happens with Ner Chanukah? Now, the premise of the question, the premise that underlies my question is what?
That there might be a difference.
Exactly, that there might be a difference. That Ner Shabbos L'chud and Ner Chanukah L'chud. I'll give you an example. The Gemara later on, I'm just anticipating, is going to wonder about a person who only has access to one candle. And it's Friday night of Chanukah. Should he designate that candle for Shabbos use or for Chanukah use? What's the underlying premise of that question of the Gemara? Yiboyaluhu, the Gemara vacillates back and forth. Whether Chanukah is greater because of Pirsum Hanes, whether Shabbos is greater because of Shalom Bayis, the Gemara goes back and forth until the Gemara concludes that Shalom Bayis is even more important than Pirsum Hanes. But what's the premise that underlies the Gemara's vacillation back and forth, Mitch?
You can't use it for both.
Exactly, you can't use one candle for both. So we see that there's a contradiction here, almost a categorization or bifurcation, if you could call it, between Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah. And if we get down to the essence of it, we may be able to understand why the Gemara vacillates back and forth about those shmonim that were excluded for Shabbos, whether they should be excluded for Chanukah. Because it could be that even though this shemen is possible for Shabbos, it still might be kosher for Chanukah. That's what the Gemara wants to know. Now, when does this issue arise? So let me ask you this. Is there an overlap between Shabbos and Chanukah? And what's the answer? Yes, by definition. Right? That's it. Is there an overlap between two Shabbos and Chanukah? Can be. You might even have a double rap. And then there's a whole discussion in the Gemara about which Haftorah we should read and which sequence on the first Shabbos of Chanukah and the second Shabbos of Chanukah. This year I don't think we have that problem, do we?
No.
Alright, we have to look it up. Good. So now we have to ask the following question. If there's a fundamental difference between Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah, when Chanukah overlaps with Shabbos, as it always does for at least one occasion, I'm going to light a Ner Shabbos because it's Shabbos. I mean, Shabbos and Chanukah requires Ner Shabbos no less than any other Shabbos. And then I'm going to light my Chanukah candle.
Then?
No, I don't say then. I mean, say in addition to. I'm not talking about sequence now, but I'm just saying, and in addition to the Ner Shabbos, I need a Ner Chanukah, right? We can't use one Ner for both. So the question is, what about the Shmona? Let's say I have Shemen on the desk, and I can't use it for Shabbos because it's a very poor kind of quality Shemen, inferior quality Shemen. Can I use it for Chanukah? Okay, now, truth is, Rabosai, that you should be up in arms here at this point. Everybody should be yelling at Rabbi Berzon, you're misleading us. You're telling me that the whole discussion here is about the overlap between Shabbos and Chanukah on that Friday night of Chanukah. Anybody want to attack me? Yeah, it's not that I'm suicidal here. I meant to say logically attack me. Yeah.
The rest of the days shouldn't be any different.
No.
Should it be different or not? In other words, when you're asking the question, Steve, about inferior quality oils for Ner Chanukah, what difference does it make whether you're talking about Leil Shabbos or you're talking about any other night of Chanukah?
Well, it does make a difference because for Shabbos is Shemayata. So where we don't, that's not a concern for the rest of Chanukah. It's a concern for Shabbos. So that's
now Usher, you're stacking the cards, because if you're going to tell me that Shemayata is not a concern for Chanukah for whatever reason, let's say, then I would say that reason should justify using those inferior quality wicks and oils even on Shabbos Chanukah.
No.
For
why?
Again, because there's no Shemayata.
There should have Shemayata because it's still Shabbos.
It's Shemayata. No, but I'm asking, is there Shemayata in the Ner Chanukah? Rabbi said, what would be the svara to say that there's no Shemayata in the Ner Chanukah? Anybody know what that's called? Okay, so let's add another terminology here that we have to do. Again, I need my eraser here because the whiteboard is a little bit limited in space.
You can use it.
Another one.
No, I definitely had one a minute ago, but I'm great at losing erasers. Ooh, no, it's not there. Okay, anyway, this is called Asur. Anybody know what's coming later? No? Nobody can fill this in? You don't say Aner Salolu after you light Chanukah. Aner Salolu, Parashim Fi Ein Lana Rishus L'Shamesh Asur L'Hish Tamesh Bahem. Ah, this is interesting because this principle of Asur L'Shamesh Bahem is going to have a tremendous impact in terms of these inferior oils on the concept of Shemayata. Because what does Shemayata mean? Shemayata means, in the classical case, that I need light to read a book, small print, and what's going to happen is, inadvertently, without even thinking, you know, the light is not clear, I'm going to do a Hataya Saner. But that's only because I'm being Nana from the Ner. I'm enjoying it. I'm allowed to read a book to the light of Ner Shabbos, and that gives me Shemayata. And therefore I have to make sure I have the superior quality oils and wicks. But in the case of Chanukah, if I activate the principle of what? Everybody. Asur L'Shtamesh B'Ner Chanukah. Then where does he place himself? Is he close to the Ner Chanukah or is he distancing himself from the Ner Chanukah? If he's not using the Ner Chanukah, he's not reading a book. He's not allowed to read a book. So he's at a distance. If he's at a distance and he's not benefiting from the Ner Chanukah, then we can completely undermine this principle of Shema Yata. So this is really interesting, because if you read the Gemara, it says the following: Omar Rav Huna, Psilos Shmonim Shomru Chachamim Ein Madlikim Ebeshabbos Ein Madlikim Bahen BeChanukah Bein BeShabbos UBein BeChol. Now wait a second, this is very strange. Rav Huna is worried about Chanukah, meaning the Mishnah already established that these Shmonim UPsilos are excluded from Shabbos. So that we know already. I don't need Rav Huna for that. But Rav Huna says about those very same psilos and shmonim that they are likewise excluded from Chanukah. And then he must be assuming which principle applies even to the Ner Chanukah. Everybody?
Shema Yata.
So he's extending and applying Shema Yata to Ner Chanukah. If that be the case, then he's not operating with the principle of Asur Lishtamish Li'ora. So Haneris Halalu Anamadlikim, which by the way is a Brisa Masechta Sofrim, and it has a very significant status, but it doesn't stim with Rav Huna. Rav Huna is of the opinion that Mutal Lishtamish Li'ora. Now Mutal Lishtamish Li'ora is a very nice kula as far as Chanukah is concerned. So you can be very lenient as far as Chanukah is concerned, but it generates a Chumra as far as Shabbos is concerned, because it reactivates the principle of Shema Yata. Everybody have that? So we have like an inverse relationship. Whenever you say Mutal Lishtamish Li'ora, then you're going to have Shema Yata, and you're going to have to exclude the inferior quality oils. If on the other hand you're going to say also Lishtamish Li'ora, which ostensibly sounds like a Chumra, would be very strict about it and stringent, that's going to generate a Kula, because it's going to completely neutralize the problem of Shema Yata. Now, let's read Rav Huna again. Rav Huna says, Bein b'Shabbos, u'bein b'chol. Now, wait a second. What's this Bein b'chol? I understand what Rav Huna wants to say, that we're going to exclude these oils on Shabbos. And that's because he's activating the principle of what? Of Shema Yata, as we said before, Mutal Lishtamish Li'ora. But what about Chanukah itself? Meaning, don't you want a healthy kind of ner for the mitzvah of Chanukah? Forget about Shema Yata. Let's leave that outside of our discussion right now. I'm just interested in knowing, a man lights Chanukah. By the way, does a person have to stand over the ner Chanukah for a half hour? Or can he light the Ner Chanukah? Again, I'm not talking about security issues, but let's say there are people in the house, so he doesn't have to worry about that, and pack out. Right, let's say he lights Ner Chanukah probably an hour gegen. We're going to light Ner Chanukah at around 5 o'clock in the evening, right? Does that make sense? Mashu kazeh. So he left his work at 4 o'clock. He wants to go back to his workplace. Is he allowed to do so? As far as I know, yes. If anybody knows otherwise, we'll have to take out a Mishnah Berurah and we'll see what he says. But assuming he's allowed to leave, then what kind of candle do you want him to leave over there that's going to last for a minimum of a half hour?
Better quality,
correct? Because otherwise it might go out. So I don't understand something. In Shabbos, if Rav Huna is addressing the issue of these Neros and Ishman already? Okay. Shakol Yabisaver. Tadaba. And I hope that they elect the right president in Brazil. Anyway, so now it's interesting that a right winger could be pro Israel. That's a chiddush in Brazil. So now we get back to this. So what's going on over here? If Rav Huna is talking about Shabbos and he wants to know about the overlap of Chanukah and Shabbos, and can I use these inferior quality oils on Shabbos Chanukah for Chanukah candles, then I have to introduce the problem of Shema Yata. That I understand. But there should be a much more fundamental issue here that Rav Huna should address. And that's Chanukah itself. Forget about Shabbos. Forget about Shema Yata. I want to guarantee that this man will light a candle that will last. It has a long lasting, what's it called, a shelf life? You know, a long. Well, how would you say it? A long lasting shelf life? What? And it's not going to go out in 5 minutes. It's not going to start flickering, and then if you don't tend to it, and you know, move the oil around and so forth and so on, it's gonna go out. That's not what I want for Chanukah.
But it says here, Bein l'Shabbos, Bein l'Chol.
Excellent. So Phil says it says Bein l'Chol, meaning that Rav Huna is telling me something about Chanukah and the Ner Chanukah in general. What Ner, what oil would qualify for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? Even these inferior oils. And that's halacha Ner Chanukah. Beli Kesher has no connection to Shabbos whatsoever, because he says Bein B'chol. That's what Phil's Medayim. So if he says Bein B'chol, apparently he's telling me that I can use these. So forget about Shemayata, right? It's Monday night of Chanukah, so I don't have any issue with Shemayata. But I have another issue. How do I guarantee that he'll fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? And what went on over here? So Rabosai, I want to mention to you already on that first meeting, the most fundamental chakira. You know what a chakira is, right? You know, we have two different definitions of halacha in Hilchos Chanukah. Okay then? And if anybody sees the... you know, Shlomo, I'm going to take you up on your offer for a tissue, because I'm getting really desperate here. I know that there is... Okay, good, thanks. Okay? Okay.
Maybe better than the eraser.
Okay. It's clean. Here it is. Okay. Nun ches. Okay, Ner Chanukah. Aleph or Beis. Now again, I'm not trying to prejudice you one way or the other. I'm going to offer you two definitions of the mitzvah Ner Chanukah. And they're both valid. They both stand on very solid ground. And this is not an advertisement, but in my 11:45 shiur, we're going to have a lot to say about this. But even in the 8:30 shiur, we have to at least touch on it, because as I say, this is the most fundamental issue in Ner Chanukah. And I'm not prejudicing you, giving you any prejudice here, which way you want to go. Both definitions are valid, but I'm going to ask you to try to anticipate which of these two definitions is correct according to Rav Huna. Okay, and that's what I want to know. Okay? Is it Maisa Hadlaka? Or is it Ner Dolk? Okay, let me try to just give a little flesh and blood. One way of understanding the Ner Chanukah is to say, I have to light the Ner. That is the mitzvah. I define the mitzvah from A to Z as Maisa Hadlaka. The other way is to say it, no. The mitzvah is to have a Ner Dolk. Here, in the first definition, I'm putting all the emphasis on the action. In the second definition, I'm putting all the emphasis on the result of the action, creating a new entity. So the halakha in the second definition is just a means to an end, the end of which is to have a Ner Dolk. Now, a Ner Dolk already, you could ask the following question. Well, how long does the Ner have to be Dolk? So we're going to soon see that it has to be from the time of Shkia until Achatikla Regel Menashuk. You know, there's a time which people are walking in the streets, and then you could publicize the miracle. And Rishonim say that's at least a half hour, maybe even more, but at least a half hour. Or the Brisker Rav held that in our time, it depends on when the last showing of the movie, you know,
in Edison,
right, at that time in Edison, and at any time, you know, he used to put a tremendous amount of oil into his Ner Chanukah, and that's called Ner Dolk. It's interesting. Normally in halacha, there's never even a havamina that a katan could fulfill a mitzvah for you. So let's say, for example, I'm a gadol. Can I have a katan who's less than bar mitzvah light the Ner Chanukah? In Chanukah, there's such a havamina. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch seems to assume that even a maskana could be that the hadlok of a cut might work. That would only make sense if I define the mitzvah as what? Ner dolk. If it's a maisa hadlokah, then like any other maisa, cutting is maisa nifu. You know, the maisa of a cutting is not recognized by halacha. He could be the Vilna Gaon at the age of six, no shas, and he's brilliant and precocious, but he still doesn't have a maisa mitzvah. But if it's ner doluk, and the maisa is only a means to an end, now, how would this hakira kick in to the question of inferior quality oils?
The first one is correct.
Michael, if you're going to go with what?
The first one is no problem.
No problem, but if you're going to go with the second one, that you need an Ner Doluk, I find it very hard to believe that these inferior quality oils would qualify for setting up an Ner Doluk. If the Ner itself has to last for a certain period of time, which makes sense because the essence of the mitzvah of Chanukah is what? Pirsum Nis. Pirsum Nis. So we want to have that Ner.
So the bracha is lahadlik, yeah.
Could be that the bracha is always going to be on the maisa mitzvah, even in Migdash, where no doubt the mitzvah is ner doluk. How do I know? Oh, this is again for a more of an Ian shir, but you'd have to trust me on this, that there are proofs that in Migdash the mitzvah is ner doluk, not the maisa bracha. There's even a case where the Rambam says that the non-Kohen, a Tzar, lit the menorah. Again, he can't go into the Heichal, but let's say he took the menorah out of the Heichal and he lit it outside the Heichal, and then the Kohen brought it into the Heichal, and he's now equipped the Heichal with a Ner Doluk, that's enough for the mitzvah, even though the Maisa mitzvah is done by a non-Kohen, a Tzar. Okay, but that's, again, a long discussion, not for now. If in Migdash the mitzvah is Ner Doluk, why in Migdash did they make a bracha Al hadlakas ner shebemigdash? But apparently we have a chok velo yavar in Hilchas Brachos, and that would require a great deal of study in Hilchas Brachos, that the bracha is always formulated on the maisa. Like, for example, it could be in Mila, the mitzvah is on the status of the child being mahul, which is the totsad, which is the result. It's like ner doluk is tinok mahul, but yet the bracha will be lamul, because that's the maisa that I have to do. That's my obligation. I have to set up a matzav, a situation that exists afterwards. But getting back to this, let's take a look at Rav Huna, because Rava is going to analyze Rav Huna. Amar Rava, my timer. What logic underlies Rav Huna? Says Rava, my timer, the Rav Huna, because Savari holds kavsa zakuk lo. There's a reason why these inferior quality neros cannot be used for Ner Chanukah, because we know that there's a very serious suspicion that they'll go out. They're not going to last. They're inferior quality. That's not good for Chanukah. Okay, so let me ask you this. On a Monday night of Chanukah, according to the logic of Rava, interpreting Rav Huna, I cannot use these inferior quality Shmonim Upsilos, because what? Which definition are we working with? Ner Doluk. Ner Doluk never appears in the Gemara. The Gemara has a different terminology that means exactly the same as Ner Doluk. And that's called Kavsa Zakuk La. Okay, let's translate those three words. Right? Kavsa, if it went out. So he lit the candle, Bismano, at the right proper time. And then it went out. Let's, for argument's sake, let's say the wind blew it out. Okay, but we're still within that half hour period of time. Zakuk lo.
Obligated to relight. You're obligated to relight.
To rekindle. Excellent. To relight. Very good.
But he can do that during the week.
He can do it, but we're afraid he went to work, Phil. Do you follow me? Again, I'm adding a lot here to the script and the Gemara, so you'll have to give me that extra rope over here. But what I'm saying is, to be mekayim the mitzvah, and the Chazal were attacking the mitzvah, to be mekayim the mitzvah in such a way that it won't be a ner doluk, or shall I say, there's a very serious statistical possibility that it won't be a ner doluk, because it's such inferior quality oil, that we don't want. That's called Kavsa Zakuk. We're going to soon see, as we go through the sugya, the other view is going to say Kavsa Ein Zakuk La. Now, if you hold Kavsa Ein Zakuk La, that means the wind blew it out, for that matter, a second after I lit it, I don't have to rekindle it. Which definition does that operate with?
First.
Mais Hadlaka, correct, the first definition. So if the mitzvah is Mais Hadlaka, that's called Kavsa Ein Zakuk La. If on the other hand the mitzvah is Ner Daluk, then that's Kavsa Zakuk La. Because with all the respect, you lit the candle, which was a nice way of setting up a Ner Daluk, but it didn't last. The Ner Daluk has a certain period of time, and it didn't last that minimum period of time, and therefore you have to rekindle it if it went out. We're always afraid that he's going to check out. He's not going to stand there for a half hour and watch the Ner, although some people do have that minute, but he's not required to do so, and therefore we're not going to put the Ner Chanukah into such a precarious situation in which he lit a candle, he went out, he checked out, and then it went out. So therefore, we're going to hold Kavsa Zakuk La, because it's not enough just to light the candle with a Mais Hadlaka, but we rather we require rekindling it if it goes out. So don't light l'chatchila with an oil that's not going to last, because you won't have an air dulk. And that, according to Rava, is the underlying logic of Rav Huna. That's why Rav Huna is going to say that just like in Shabbos, we're going to passel those inferior quality oils, so too in Chanukah, even during the week of Chanukah, we're going to disqualify those oils. But for two different reasons. In the case of Shabbos, why are we disqualifying the oil that's inferior in quality? That's because of what? Shema Yata. In the case of Chanukah, the reason why we're going to disqualify these inferior oils is because of Kavsa Zakuk La, which means you need an air daluk. Did everybody have that? We really should open up the window here.
I
tried once to open the window, and I was not successful. You need a hammer, I think, or something. Oh. I'm just joking.
Push from the inside, Steve. Yeah.
We'll see if Steve's able to do it. He's from the Midwest. They make them powerful over there. You know, there are a lot of farmers over there. Too. Now, I'll say, what question should you ask me now? If, according to Rav Huna, the way Rav interprets it, Kavsa Zakuk La, and therefore these candles are possible the entire Chanukah, then what question should you ask me?
Why are you bothering to light?
Why what?
Why are you bothering to light?
Well, no, he doesn't know yet, because we're in the process of developing the halacha. So he comes to the Rav and he says, Rebbe, am I allowed to use these are the oils that I have. Can I fulfill my mitzvah with them? So comes along Rav Huna and he says, no. Why? Because Kavsa Zakuk. But you should be asking me another question. Go back to Rav Huna again. Let's go back to the text. Phil, you're very good at being medayik in the language. What did Rav Huna say? Ben, can you help me here? Bein b'Shabbos, bein b'chol. Wait a minute, what do you mean bein b'Shabbos? Well, what do you have to tell me about Shabbos? You're telling me that in Hilchas Chanukah, these oils are excluded. They're disqualified. So what are you telling me about Shabbos? Don, you look perplexed. I don't know.
I missed the beginning, sorry.
No, I don't think you missed much. Again, Rav Huna makes a double statement. Rav Huna says that these wicks and oils have to be excluded for Chanukah. And then he adds, Bein b'Shabbos, Bein b'Chol. So let's go slow. We'll start and move backwards and then go up. Bein b'Chol. Bein b'Chol means that in Hilchas Chanukah, I can't fulfill my mitzvah of Chanukah with these inferior oils. And the Gemara Rav explains why. Because Kavsa Zakuk La. We added our embellishment. It's a din of Ner Dolk. And it won't be a Ner Dolk because he's going to check out after he lit the candle. So far, so good. But now let's go up and back to the first statement of Huna. Rav Huna said, Bein b'Shabbos. What do you mean, Shabbos? We know already from the Mishnah that these oils are excluded for the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. He's addressing the issue of Ner Chanukah. And for sure that if you're excluding and invalidating this Ner on Monday, then on Friday night, for sure, it should be possible as well. So why do you have to tell me Bein b'Shabbos?
And what's going on with the Masa Hadlaka on Shabbat?
No, but I'm asking Phil. Let's say you want to say Masa Hadlaka, but would it be a Hava Mina? Once we've already seen that on Chol, we don't have an Ner Daluk, because Kavsa Zakuk La, we need an Ner Daluk, but it's going to go out. Then what's the Hava Mina to say that on Leil Shabbos I can fulfill my mitzvah with an inferior quality Ner that's going to last for 2 minutes? Might last for 3 minutes?
Is
Do you hear what I'm asking? I'm asking, is there a hava? I mean, once Rav Huna grants me, which he leaves for the sefer, but let's say it started with the sentence that you cannot use these oils for the mitzvah chanukah. Again, not for the same reason that they're excluded from Ne'er Shabbos. On Ne'er Shabbos, they're excluded because of what? Shema Yata. On Chanukah, they're excluded because Kavsa Zakukla, you need an Erdolu. Once I know that, why do you bother Rav Huna telling me what's the status of a Ne'er Chanukah on Friday night? L'chori, you haven't... it's totally miutar.
David? It could be that there'll be a light already on for Shabbos, so someone in the street could see that, maybe think the bits are being publicized by the light of the Shabbos candle.
So then he's not chayiv at all in Chanukah, you're saying. So David wants to suggest that maybe he could use the Ner Shabbos for the mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes, but again, the Gemara is assuming later on in Daf Chof Gimel that that's not so. You cannot light a Ner Shabbos and fulfill your mitzvah of Chanukah. We'll have to understand why, but the Gemara says flat. The Gemara says you need two different candles. The question is, if you only have money for one, which takes precedent? But that's the assumption of the Gemara, that a Ner Shabbos is not a Ner Chanukah. By definition, it's what we call Mufka. It cannot serve as a Ner Chanukah. So now, you've already excluded, as far as Hilchos Chanukah is concerned, the Ner made up of the Shmonim. Why then do you have to tell me that on Leil Shabbos, you don't use these Neros for Chanukah?
Well, he has to burn even longer if you use it on.
So I don't know, that's even more of a reason to exclude them. I've excluded them on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. For sure, they're excluded on Friday night.
Well, maybe on Shabbos you found yourself in a situation where you only had bad stuff left. After you did their Shabbos, all you had left was this stuff. And you know it may go out, but so what? You have another one.
What do you mean you have another one? You have the Ner Shabbos, David was saying?
Yeah, you have the Ner Shabbos, but...
And therefore what? You'll fulfill the mitzvah of Hanukkah, or what?
No, but all you have left on Friday night is the bad stuff. I say, can you use it since it's a Shabbos anyhow? I'll have hot luck, and all right, good enough.
So you want to say that maybe on Shabbos there'll be some sort of... But again, why don't you apply that logic on the rest of the week? If that's all I have, at least give me something. You know, some brownie points, but... So, in order to answer this question, we're going to read the next line in Rava. Okay? And Rava says the following. U'muto l'shtamesh li'or. Okay. So, you remember, Rav Osa, I told you before that there's a tremendous controversy regarding Ner Chanukah. We're familiar with the Brisa Masechet Sofrim, Aneiros Halol Kodesh, Eilon Rishus l'shtamesh by El Rosa Bilbar. But there's another opinion, and that, says Rav, is the opinion of Huna right here in Shabbos Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, that mutal ishtamish li'or. In mutal ishtamish li'or would mean that lo mi boy, it goes without saying that if he lights a Ner Chanukah on Friday night with an inferior quality oil, for sure he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah of Chanukah. That we know already. Because even during Chol he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah of Chanukah because Kavsa Zakukla. Comes along Rava and he tells me another halacha. Bad goes worse. Not only has he forfeited the mitzvah of Chanukah by lighting with this inferior oil, but he also what? He violates Shabbos.
Right.
Now, when I say violate Shabbos, don't get all nervous about this, because again, it's still Friday, it's not Shabbos.
Right.
But this is what's called a Shavuos. I don't know if anyone here was with me when we discussed, for sure there's some people here with me when we discussed about a year ago or so, the Iser of what's called Shehiyah. You're not allowed to leave on Friday afternoon a pot of uncooked food on an open fire. That's called a Shavuos Derabbanan. And that Shavuos is a violation because what's called Shemi Yechata B'Gecholim, we're afraid if he leaves an open pot on a fire, it's not a Gruf and a Ketumah, then he may start poking it on Shabbos in order to speed up the process of cooking. Okay, very complicated sugya unto itself, and that is in the third parak of Shabbos, not this parak, but the next one. So it's very interesting. The halacha of Shavuos with regard to Shabbos, which means rabbinic gzeros, applies on Erev Shabbos. Now it's very interesting. I don't know what would happen if he violated the Shavuos on Erev Shabbos and then he didn't live till Shabbos. Never. So did he violate the Shavuos or not? It could be that the violation is set into motion on Erev Shabbos, but the actual violation is on Shabbos. So now he lit a Hanukkah candle on Hanukkah of Shabbos, Friday afternoon, with inferior quality oil. Did he fulfill the mitzvah of Hanukkah? Going to Rav Huna?
No.
Because Kavs is Zakah close. So you cannot validate this near Hanukkah. But now I want to ask a different question. Did he violate the Shavuos of Shabbos? And that depends on what?
Shemayata.
Would Shemayata apply to a Hanukkah candle?
If you want the oil. The only way we took out Shemayata before is because we said we're not allowed to establish for him. But if you don't say that, then you put it back.
So that's what Rav is machadish, what you just said. That Rav Huna apparently holds mutal establish lior. And although, as far as our specific case is concerned, there's no nafkamina in Hilchas Chanukah, because for sure he's not yotze in the midst of Chanukah, because Kovsa Zakakla, according to Rav Huna, but he tells me a chiddush that would have bearing on Chanukah through the halacha of Shabbos, meaning since, according to Rav Huna, he violates the Shavuos of using these inferior oils for his Ner Chanukah, and he violates the Shavuos of Shabbos, I'm going to derive now a very important repercussion as far as the laws of Chanukah is concerned. That what? Mutal l'shtamish li'ora. Because let's argue from the opposite position. Let's say asul l'shtamish li'ora. If I would say asul l'shtamish li'ora, did he violate the Shavuos?
No,
because there's no Shemayata. So the Gemara works with the following two premises. Premise number one, says Rav and Rav Huna, is Kavsa Zakukla, which means that as far as Chanukah is concerned, you cannot validate the mitzvah through these inferior oils, because the mitzvah is what? Everybody there? Daluk. That's called Kavsa Zakukla. It's got to be lit for a half hour. Now the Gemara is operating with another premise, and that is Mutal Ishtamish Li'ora. You're allowed to benefit from Ner Chanukah. Again, this sounds very foreign to us, but that's the opinion of Rav Huna. How did Rav know to accuse, so to speak, of Rav Huna of holding Mutal Ishtamish Li'ora? The answer is because Rav Huna told me an additional chiddush. He told me that if you use these inferior oils on Friday night, on top of the fact that you forfeited the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, we're going to clip you with a violation of the Shavuos of Shabbos of Shemayata. You would have said, Ma'u detem, I would have thought, also l'shtamish li'ora, that a person would never, ever imagine himself using the Ner Chanukah, because also l'shtamish li'ora shol Ner Chanukah. Therefore, there's no Shemayata, Kamashvalon tells me Rav Huna. No, he violates the Shavuos of Shabbos. There is a Shemayata. And the reason for that is because mutal ishtamish li'ora. So it's very interesting. Rav Huna uses the halacha of Shabbos to teach me a new principle in Hilchas Chanukah. So we now have two dinim in Chanukah. Number one, kavsa zakukla. Number two, mutal ishtamish li'ora. And both of these chidushim are written in the words of Rav Huna, because Rav Huna told me two things. He told me not only these inferior quality oils are possible for Chanukah the whole week long, but don't you even dream of using them on Leil Shabbos, because in addition to forfeiting the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, which we've already established, because Kavsa Zakukla, you also violate the Shavuos of Shabbos. Ma'od etem, I would have thought, if not for Rav Huna, there's no violation of the Shavuos of Shabbos. There's no Shemayata. And why is there no Shemayata? Because also l'shtamish li'ora, I would never come near the Ner Chanukah, so I don't Shemayata, you know, I want to improve the oil. It doesn't make any sense. I don't need a more light. I'm not even using the light. I'm not benefiting from the light. Kamashvalon. And here Rav Huna tells me a very far-reaching chiddush, and that is that mutal ishtamish li'ora shel ner Chanukah. This is all Rava's interpretation of Rav Huna. And then we go on to Rav Chisda. Classical sugya where Rav Chisda disagrees with Rav Hun. Now, as we go through the sugya, and Rav Chisda is going to argue against Rav Hun, we're going to have to ask ourselves the following question. Is he arguing against both premises or against one of the two premises? Right? There were two premises in Rav Huna. Number one, Kavsa Zakukla. Number two, Mutal Ishtamish Liora. Rav Chisda Omar, Madlikin Bohen Bechol Avolo B'Shabbos. Rabosa, let's analyze this. Madlikin Ben Bechol means that even though he's going to check out to his work after he lights it, and these are inferior quality oils, they're going to go out within a minute, within 5 minutes. Nevertheless, he was yotze in the midst of Ner Chanuk, because what? Not Ner Dolik, but Maisad Laka, meaning Kavsa, Ein Zakut La. But comes along Rav Huna and he says, I have a low b'Shabbos. Wow, during the week, I'm going to let you get away with this because I hold Kavsa. I ain't Zakeh Klod against Rav Huna. I hold that the mitzvah Ner Chanukah is not Ner Doluk, but rather what? Maisad Laka. And the Maisad Laka can be guaranteed even with these inferior oils. But here's where I have a problem with Rav Huna. And that is, Avoloh B'Shabbos, that even though he was Yotzei the mitzvah of Chanukah with these inferior oils, nevertheless, on Shabbos Chanukah, he's going to violate the Shmuz of Shema Yateh. Why? Because mutal ishtamish lior. So in effect, Rav Osei, did Rav Chisda reject both premises of Rav Huna or only one premise of Rav Huna? You know which premise of Rav Huna does he argue with?
First one.
I don't know which is first and second. No. He accepts the principle of mutal ishtamish lior and therefore Shema Yateh. Here, there's no argument whatsoever between Rav Chisda and Rav Huna. They're all on the same page. But he rejects a different premise of Rav Huna, namely what? Kavsa. Ein zakuk la. Right? Kavsa. No, I'm sorry. Rav Huna held that Kavsa zakuk la. Wait, don't confuse me. I'm confused enough as it is, so don't add fuel to the flame of it. So, Rav Huna held that what? Kavsa zakuk la. And therefore, these Shmonim apostle the whole week long of Chanukah B'chol. But comes along Rav Chisda, he upgrades the status of these wicks for Chanukah during the week because he holds Kavsa ein zakuk la. So that's the premise that he rejects. Which Yehuda you call the first one. Okay, fine. I didn't know which was first and second. But as far as Shema Yateh is concerned, meaning Mutal Shtamish Liora, here he accepts. So it comes out like this. It's very interesting. That a person who lights Chanukah candles, according to Rav Chisda, he lights Chanukah candles with inferior oils on Leil Shabbos of Chanukah, meaning Friday before Shkia of Chanukah. So what's the status? What's the deal with this guy?
So he's Yotze Chanukah,
exactly.
But he's over on Shabbos.
This is like a schizophrenia of sorts. As far as Chanukah is concerned, he was Yotze in the midst of Chanukah. But as far as Shabbos is concerned, he violated a no-no. Why? Because since Mutal Shtamish Liora, we have a Gzeira of Shema Yateh, and therefore he shouldn't have done such a thing. But as far as Chanukah is concerned, he's protected by the law. Now here there's another principle that comes to mind. Anybody who was with me during Elul, you know, when we discussed Lulav HaGozel, you remember the third parak in Sukkah, which principle do I have in mind? Exactly, Mitzvah Baba Avera. You know, it's a very funny kind of situation here. On the one hand, Rav Chisda is granting him brownie points for the Mitzvah of Chanukah, but on the other hand, he's going to give him patch because he violated the Shmuz of Shabbos. So on the one hand, Kavsa ain't Zakeh Klah according to Rav Chisda. So therefore the Mitzvah is the Maisad Lok. As far as Chanukah is concerned, the inferior quality oils are valid. But as far as Shabbos is concerned, he's going to violate the Shmuz of Shabbos because Mutal Ishtamish Liora. So Kavsa ain't Zakeh Klah, but Mutal Ishtamish Liora. Kassavar, the Gemara says, Kavsa, and here we're turning to Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. You see, Rav Osa, we already learned the whole block of Gemara. We're turning to Ein Zakeh Klah, right? He holds Ein Zakeh Klah, and since it's Ein Zakeh Klah, the mitzvah is not what? Ner Doluk, but rather Maisad Laka. If the mitzvah is Maisad Laka, then he could use these inferior quality oils and wicks. But as far as Shabbos is concerned, Mutal Ishtamish Liora here, Rav Chisda corroborates the opinion of Rav Huna, and therefore he has a real serious problem of violating Shabbos because we have a real serious chashash of Shema Yateh, and therefore he cannot use these inferior oils on Shabbos of Chanukah. Not because of Chanukah, but because of Shabbos. Not because of Kavza Zakuk Lo, because Rav Chisdol's Kavza ain't Zakuk Lo, the mitzvah's Maisad Lo, and not near Dolut, but rather because of Shemayata, because Mutal Shabbos Li Ora. And finally, then this will sort of wrap up the sugya. Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav Matana, or Masna, the Amri Le others say, Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav, Psilos, Ushmonim, Shamu Chachomim, Ein Madlikim Ebe Shabbos, Madlikim Ebe Bechanaka, Bein Bechol, U Bein Beshabbos. Now we have a third opinion. He could be Yotze, the mitzvah of Chanaka, with these inferior oils, which means what? Kavsa. Ain't zakuk lo, right? The mitzvahs, the ma'isad lo, and not the ner doluk. And then he says, "Bein b'chol, bein b'shabbos." I don't have any objection to his using this on Shabbos. It must be he's holding what? Asol ishtavish liora. There's no chashash of shemayata because he wouldn't even dream of using the light for his own personal benefits, and therefore coming to play around with the oil. On Rav Yira, my time with the Rav, Rav Yira says, "What's the reasoning of Rav? Because sovar kovsa ain't zakuk lo." The asul is tamish liora. So let's go through these two principles. Number one, kavsa ein zakuk lo, which means that the mitzvah is the maisa hadlaka, not ner dolok. In that case, Rav agrees with which shita between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda. So Rav accepts Rav Chisda, and therefore, since kavsa ein zakuk lo, he could be yotzei the mitzvah, but that's only as far as chol is concerned. Now, when we get to Shabbos, Rav Chisda pointed out that we have a problem, and here he agrees with Rav Huna, namely, since it's mutal shtamish liora, if we have a problem shemayata, he's going to violate the shvus by using these inferior oils on Shabbos of Chanukah. Comes along Rav, and he says, not only was he yotzei the mitzvah of Chanukah because kavsa ein zakuk lo, Rav Chisda is certainly right about that. But moreover, he doesn't violate the Shavuos of Shabbos because also l'shtamesh li'ora shel Chanukah. So Rav Osai, if we have three opinions in the Gemara, and let's assume, again, let's assume this is not true what I'm going to tell you, but Achri Ravim Lahatos, that we paskin based on Rav, what would be your pen if you were writing, if you were authoring the Shulchan Aruch, as far as am I allowed to use and benefit from the Ner Chanukah? Can you calculate how many opinions? We have three opinions in the Gemara. We have Rav Huna, Rav Chisda, and Rav. How many of these three would hold that also l'shtamish liora? And how many of these three opinions would hold mutal l'shtamish liora?
Two out of three
Mish would hold what? Mutal l'shtamish liora. So Achri Ravim Lahakas, I would therefore paskin that mutal l'shtamish liora. Strangely enough, the Shulchan Aruch paskins also l'shtamish liora, which is only one opinion of the three, and that's the opinion of Rav. Now, as far as whether kavsa zakuk lo or ein zakuk lo, meaning can I use these inferior quality oils on chol, how many opinions would say kavsa ein zakuk lo out of the three? Ein zakuk lo means the mitzvah is just the maisad luck. Two out of the three. So if I were codifying the Shulchan Aruch, which thank God nobody called on me to do that, I would have codified it in the following way. Kavsa ein zakuk lo, so the inferior oils are kosher the whole week long, but if you ask me as far as Shabbos is concerned, I would say that two out of three opinions hold in Ner Chanukah that mutal ishtamish liora. And if mutal ishtamish liora, we have a serious problem of shemayata, and therefore though during the week I would allow you to use these inferior oils, I'm not going to allow you to do that on Shabbos because of shemayata, and that's because mutal ishtamish liora. But to our surprise, the Shulchan Aruch says the following, kavsa ein zakuk lo, which means the mitzvah is ma'isad luck, and therefore even these inferior oils are kosher. But when it comes to Shabbos, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that asul ishtamish liora, and if asul ishtamish liora, then there's no gzeirah of shemayat. And the question is, why paskin asul ishtamish liora? I understand why you paskin kavsa ein zakuk lo. I understand that both Rav Chisda and Rav, two out of three opinions, maintain that you're allowed to use inferior oils during the week of Chanukah. But when it comes to Shabbos, I have two out of three opinions that maintain that it's also on Shabbos, and the reason for that is because Mutar L'shtamish is, I'm sorry, as far as Shabbos is concerned, we said that two out of three of the opinions say that you cannot use it on Shabbos. That's both Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Then the reason for that is because Mutar L'shtamish Liora. So I would have assumed, I would anticipate that we should paskin and codify Mutar L'shtamish Liora, and to our surprise, we accept Rav, hook, line, and sinker. Maybe this is the special status of Rav vis-a-vis both Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, that even though it's Rav Huna and Rav Chisda ganging up on Rav, but Rav is such a high-powered Amora that we're going to pass him like Rav. And this is based on a principle called Halacha Karav Be'isure. And again, I don't know if Mitzvah Chanukah is called Isure, but if we assume that Mitzvah comes under Isur, because the flip side is Halacha Kishmuel Bidine Mominos, so we accept Shmuel as the expert in monetary law. This is certainly not monetary law. So let's assume by proselytization it falls into the category of Isurei, because it's ritual law, and therefore we pass them like Rav. So if we pass them like Rav, hook, line, and sinker, then we have on the one hand a Kula, and on the other hand a Chum. We have a Kula of Kavsa, Ein Zakuk, which means I can use these inferior oils. And that again, it's not just Rav, but it's also Rav Chisda. But then I have a Chumrah that also L'shtavish Liora, which gives me a Kula as far as Shabbos is concerned, namely that there's no violation of the Isur Shvus, he's not going to come to be Mate. But on the other end, it's a Chumrah as far as Ner Chanuk is concerned, called also L'shtavish Liora. Okay then, Rabosai, we'll stop here. And again, I thank everyone for coming. We'll try to improve the air conditioning here.
This was fine.
Yes, questions?
Is there any significance to the fact that in the last opinion, they reversed the Bein B'chol Bein Shabbos?
You mean the sequence, the order?
Yes.
So let's go through this. Jerry, you're pointing out something that I was unaware of. Let's start from Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, maybe we can close the door just for a minute. So Rav Huna says, Bein B'chanuk, Bein B'Shabbos. I'm sorry. Bein B'Shabbos, Bein B'chol. Bein B'Shabbos, Bein B'chol. Just 1 second. Then we get to Rav Chisda says. Rav Chisda is the one who's switching around. Let's just skip over Rav Chisda for a minute and jump to Rav. And Rav said, Bein B'chol, Bein B'Shabbos. So let's put it this way. In both Rav Chisda and in Rav, we start with Chol. Is that correct? Let me just go over that one more time. Yeah. We start with Chol. Now that makes sense. Before we get to Rav Huna, both Rav Chisda and Rav want to tell me a halacha, a fundamental halacha in the nature and the definition of Ner Chanukah, namely Kovsa Ein Zokakla. So it makes sense to start with Chol. And you might say that it makes sense to start with Chol because Chol comes before Shabbos in most cases. So your question, Jerry, is back to Rav Huna. Why does Rav Huna switch the order? He becomes the Yochid now against the Rabbi. And he starts with Shabbos. So let's just think. With regard to Shabbos, and it's interesting, when Rava gets to explain Rav Huna, he goes back to Chol, right? He says, Kovsa Zakukla. So why does Rav Huna himself start with...
Because he's following the Mishnah.
No, I'll tell you what it is, Asha. You see, Rav Huna wants to add another Chiddush over here, and that is Shabbos. So he wants to focus on Shabbos, because he's telling you a Chiddush here that not only has he forfeited the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, but he also violates the Isur of Shabbos. So the main Chiddush and the thrust of Rav Huna is to tell you that we have a very interesting halacha here in Ner Chanukah of a violation of Shabbos. That Ner Chanukah could be, in the case where Shabbos overlaps with Chanukah, Chanukah overlaps with Shabbos, a violation of Shabbos. Okay, Rabosai, so we'll stop here.
So
again, I have another shiur at 11:45.